The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Hi again, everybody. Welcome on in. We are in Las Vegas today on this Monday. It is the Summer League for the Phoenix Suns. I went to their game last night. I'll get into that momentarily and what we are doing here in Vegas. We're brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate their support here in Las Vegas. Kyle Odegaard is going to be with us on today's show. Kyle with Seven Star Digital. He is in the sports gaming space. Kyle was with the Arizona Cardinals till about, I don't know, 2-3 weeks ago. And he made the jump over to sports gambling and gaming that is coming to Arizona next month. It's going to take the market by storm. Some news on that even today that I'll get to shortly. Michael Fabiano will be with us today. Time to put together your fantasy football team. Michael, of course, the Hall of Famer. This is year 7 of Fabs with us. None better on a national space than Michael Fabiano. He's with Sports Illustrated and also SiriusXM. Michael Fabiano. Those are two great guests coming up ahead. All right, so here in Vegas, I went to the Summer Suns last night. And I wanted to be here to see Jalen Smith play. Wanted to just be around the organization a little bit. Couple days here in Vegas. There's some business stuff I'm attending to up here too. But in terms of the Suns, I wanted to see Jalen Smith, former first-round pick. Didn't do much last year. Sticks is his nickname as he gets out on the court. And last night, put up some nice numbers. You know, Summer League, people will watch it. And the game was on television last night. Fans are saying, boy, he looks terrible. Guess what? It's Summer League. They're putting him in some different positions. Almost every time there is a stoppage in play, an assistant coach or two are coming over to him and talking to him about, hey, do this, do that, do this, do that. The bigger story to me was right before tip-off, from where I'm sitting, I noticed these guys coming out of the tunnel off to the side and going to sit in the front row. It's Chris Paul, it's Devin Booker, it's Cam Payne, it's Mikal Bridges, it's Cam Johnson. And the place went crazy. It was primarily Lakers fans because it was Lakers against Suns, but the place with Suns fans went crazy. And I just thought it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool to see them, and they stayed the entire game and even afterwards. This wasn't just bumping in for a quarter and let's go hit the tables in Vegas. No, they were there to support their team. And so that, to me, speaks volumes about the depth of where this organization has come to. Those of you that watched the years know that I've been extraordinarily critical. Those days are now behind us. Things like this talk about a very good culture that's in place. They play tonight against the Utah Jazz. I don't care if Jalen Smith plays some point guard. I don't care if he plays. If he plays all five positions, it's fine. It's not the numbers. It's looking at him and saying, where are you at with this team next year? Can you step out and hit a three? He did a couple of times were air balls. Wasn't pretty. There were even some Suns fans that were booing his ass. So that was last night. And again, tonight I'll be back over there. And you can follow all of my content over on social, over on Twitter, and on the website at sports360az.com. All right, Arizona State is in the news today. It's not good. Always Something University, as I call them, ASU. So now Pete Thamel, who has been leading this story along with Doug Haller over at The Athletic, that the violations or apparent violations, the NCAA coming down on the program. Today, two more assistant coaches on administrative leave, according to Pete Thamel. And Doug Haller had it confirmed too. Chris Hawkins and Prentice Gill. That means there are three coaches. And so I'm sorry to tell you, Big Cigar alum, if you think that this is nothing and you think that this isn't going to go away, I'm going to continue to say, yeah, when there's smoke, there's fire. And now you've got three assistant coaches on leave. So to say it's not good is an understatement. And there's been stuff around this program, I'd say the last couple of years. You just have whispers and you have coaches and so now here it is. And how far will this go? It's my understanding that Michael Crow has taken the lead on this investigation over at the university. Michael Crow has said before, Dr. Crow has said, if you cheat, I will fire you. He told Todd Graham that to his face. That's been his stance. Well, so far it's people being put on leave. You know, is this all again cosmetic? Or at some point, is somebody, if you've got three people on the staff, at some point, is the other cleat going to drop? Is it just a matter of time? Their season opens in just over 3 weeks. The Cardinals play Dallas on Friday night. First of three preseason games. We're very pleased that it's down to three. Once they get rid of all of them, I'll be more than happy. I don't like seeing the main employees being put in harm's way. The news around the Cardinals opening a sports book at their stadium with MGM and Gila River, that came out today. Not to be surprised by that. You're going to hear more about sports gaming and sports betting. That's why I'm putting Kyle Odegaard on today's show, because I think there's a lot of you saying, huh, what is this all about? So you hear from Kyle here shortly, and the Cardinals are going to put a sports book in at the stadium. That's great for eight Sundays out of the year. What does it look like the rest of the time? That's probably the big billion-dollar question, because I hear that's how much money is being poured in here. I did see some of the Hall of Fame speeches, and I got choked up with Bill Cowher. Like a Saturday night Bill Cowher, I saw Peyton Manning's and I laughed. I saw Johnny Lynch because I covered Johnny in high school, and Johnny's terrific. Terrific person. Some of those speeches, I saw Edge's speech. Edgerrin James is one of my favorite athletes that I've covered through the years here in Arizona. Edge was here for a short period of time. You need guys like Edgerrin James in order to have a team that goes to the Super Bowl. You can't have a bunch of nice guys in any organization in professional sports. You have to have a grit guy or two. And Edge was that guy and then some. For the Arizona Cardinals the year they went to the Super Bowl. It's good to see him go into the Hall of Fame. Bobby Bowden passed away. So Bobby Bowden and the Fiesta Bowl are synonymous. I sent a text over to John Junker, the former executive director, about jumping on board to talk about Bobby Bowden. And that may happen, it may not. Bobby Bowden brought Florida State to Arizona three times the Fiesta Bowl. And this is when the Fiesta Bowl was the Fiesta Bowl. Not taking a shot at where they are now. Now they're just a ESPN-owned property, basically. They do great work, and they give away lots of money in the community. But facts are facts. It was just a different time then. The dadgummit, Bobby Bowden, I think Eric tracked him down about a year ago to be on the show. And he was terrific and always a pleasure to chat with. And so he passed away at the age of 91 and lived a good, long life and impacted a lot of people. Bobby Bowden, great there in the Fiesta Bowl. Should be grateful that they've been intertwined with him on three separate occasions. That's pretty much what's on my mind. Up next, we will shift over. This is earlier with Kyle Odegaard and Michael Fabiano. That's on the other side from Vegas with the Phoenix Suns. Back after this timeout. All right, as promised, Kyle Odegaard is with us. Now, I've seen Kyle since he was at the Tribune where he cut his teeth, did well there, crushed it over at the Cardinals. And he is, like I think many in our industry are looking at, except he said, I am all in, decided to go in on the sports betting, the sports gambling, the legalization of sports betting here in our great state next month, as well as across the country and worldwide. He's now the sports and gambling editor for compare.bet. So I'm going to start with this first. How did this come to be for you?
Yeah, like you said, I thought it was interesting that sports betting was becoming legalized in Arizona and throughout the country. And basically, a lot of sports betting sites wanted to get more American sports to what they've been doing. There's been a lot of focus on the Premier League and all sorts of stuff in Europe. And now they're all looking here and there's a big market for it. So, you know, I talked to this group called Seven Star Digital in London, and they wanted to expand into America. So I'm going to kind of lead the way with them and focus some on Arizona sports, you know, covering the Cardinals so long. I'm still going to talk about them quite a bit, but also the NFL and really all the major sports in general across America.
So on the Cardinals end of things, it's not just going to be, hey, I think Chase Edmonds and James Conner are going to split the reps. I think that the win total, they're going to come in under. You're going to, and I'm being real basic here because I think that's what most of Arizona is going to be starting early September. They're going to be very, very basic, right?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it's obviously very new here, but stuff like point spread. So basically, if the Cardinals are 3-point underdogs like they are for their opener against the Titans, if you bet on the Cardinals, then they'd have to lose by 2 or 1 or win the game in order to cover your bet. So there's options in betting where the team can lose, but you can still win the bet. So just trying to familiarize people with that. And soon it's going to become really well known in the coming years.
In terms of the approach of prop bets. So people have been doing prop bets here. We've been doing gaming and gambling since 2012 over here with Jimmy Vaccaro up in Vegas. I've seen it. I get it. But a lot of fans have only done the prop bet stuff. Is that something that you're going to do with compare.bet?
Yeah, it's all sorts of gambling. And I tweeted out odds of Larry Fitzgerald playing in 2021 the other day. So there's definitely the player props are going to be involved. But anything that's interesting, anything that I think readers will enjoy, I'll be happy to write. And it's basically just giving them knowledge and letting them know, hey, this is a new thing coming up. And if people want to bet on it, go for it. And if not, of course, they don't have to.
Yeah, on Christmas Day, the Cardinals are playing the Colts and the Suns are probably going to have a game. Who is going to have more Devin Booker, 25 points, Chase Edmonds, 25 carries, right? Stuff that's fun. I'm just spitballing, but I'm sure that's where it's going, right?
Totally. And when you get to the Super Bowl, there's prop bets for the third string running back on if he'll get 2.5 yards in the game. So yeah, it's fun. It just adds another element to watching sports. Just, I've always enjoyed just knowing what point spreads are, which teams are underdogs and favorites, what kind of MVP odds Kyler Murray has this season, how many wins the Cardinals are supposed to get, you know, stuff like that. And not just football, but the Suns going into next season, like what are their odds going to be to win the championship after such a great season? All that sort of thing I'll be looking at.
Kyle Odegaard with us for a few minutes. Compare.bet. Check it out. It all becomes legal in Arizona next month. Okay, so Josh Allen gets an extension. Let's just talk about on the field. Josh Allen gets a huge extension. Is the pressure on Kyler Murray now to produce this year, Kyle? From my view, it had been even before the Josh Allen extension. I think Cliff and Kyler are tied together. I think if Cliff doesn't win this year, he gets bounced like most Cardinal coaches after three seasons. Your view on Kyler and the Josh Allen story?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously Kyler Murray is going to be the Cardinals quarterback for at least five seasons because they can pick up that option. But you're right, he's eligible for the contract extension after year three. And does he prove that he's a superstar quarterback that should get $40 million a year, which all these guys are now getting? If he's not that good, it becomes an interesting negotiation on is he a superstar or not? So I think it's definitely an important year for Kyler Murray. I think everything we've seen from him these first 2 years are pointing toward that trajectory. And then he just has to prove it, obviously, in this year. And if he does, he's definitely going to get paid.
Okay, Cliff, in my view on him, that this is a hot seat year for him.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, 2 years that showed progress as far as the wins going from 5 to 8. But we all know how the season ended for the Cardinals, especially offensively, when he's coined an offensive innovator and they took a step back last season. So I think they definitely need to show improvement on offense, get the passing game going. You've got DeAndre Hopkins, but who is going to be the number two receiver? Can you consistently move the ball through the air? I think we know Kyler is going to get yards with his legs. The running game should be fine, but you have to throw the ball in the NFL to succeed. And to me, that's the big question. If they don't, I agree. Cliff Kingsbury could be on the hot seat.
And you look at the division they're in, and you can't say that they're the best team. You can't say they're the second best team. Some things have got to go their way. Yeah, there's an extra game involved this year, so injuries are going to be part of it. But they're really looking up in this division.
Yeah, no doubt. And some of it is through no fault of their own because the Rams and Niners and Seahawks are so good. But You kind of play the hand that you're dealt, and they have to do something in the division. I understand that they are underdogs, and I can see why they're ranked 4th out of 4 right now. But having a quarterback that has the ability to turn into a big-time star, I think that gives them some hope. It obviously has to happen. But if Kyler Murray takes that next step, like we're talking about, proves he's a true superstar, then I think the Cardinals could be in that mix. And if he doesn't, they're going to have a hard time.
Okay, before I get you out of here, I'm going to go back to the top of the conversation. Compare.bet, put that hat on here. Over under, is it 8.5 wins?
Yeah.
Right now? I got to go under, man. I'm just sitting here saying, I can't see them going over that amount. Not in this division.
Yeah, I think it's a good marker because I could easily make an argument to you either way. So I think they definitely nailed the over-under at 8.5. I know a lot of Cardinals fans feel like, hey, they won 8 games last year. Kyler Murray is going into his third year. He should be better. There's the extra regular season game, so it's easy for them to get to 9 or 10. I agree with you. I don't think it's a slam dunk at all. I think 8.5 is a really good number. I could see them going a little bit under that. I could see them passing it. I think, once again, it all depends on Kyler Murray and that passing game.
Good stuff. Congratulations on the move and with a company that's big time that you're moving into in that space. Best of luck on all fronts. Thanks.
Cool. Thanks, Brad.
There's Kyle Odegaard with us. And again, you can find his content at compare.bet. And we're back with more after this timeout. All right. It is another year with the Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano, because we're now in August. Some of you are already doing your drafts. That's a mistake, in my opinion. Mike may disagree with me.
No, I agree.
There you go. Sports Illustrated, of course. You can find him at SI.com and at SiriusXM. He does a great job. It's the one and only Michael Fabiano. How are you?
Good. It's the, I guess maybe not the calm before the storm, but the waters are getting a little rougher. Let's put it that way. As we had our first preseason game last night, although that was barely an NFL game. and it was nice to see the Cowboys out there. I actually was up in Oxnard a few days ago watching training camp. That was much more enjoyable than watching that game last night. But here we are. It's August, and we are back in fantasy football draft season.
Okay, who is the player that you are really struggling with? Or two or three guys, you're just like, Brad, I cannot figure this one out. Is it Jalen Hurts' situation? Is it, you know, Kenny Galladay's nicked up? He's coming back, maybe. I don't know. You got a couple guys?
Yeah, I've been going back and forth on Saquon Barkley, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I had him in my top five, and then there's news that he, you know, might not be ready for week one, so I moved him down to, you know, 8 or 9, and then Ian Rappaport comes out today and says that they may not have him until week 3, so I'm like, geez, so I keep moving Saquon down. Like, at this point, like, he's barely a first-round pick, so the talent is there, and inevitably, I'm sure he'll be fine, but you know, you lose the first couple of games of the season, and you know, that's going to obviously knock a guy down a few spots. And the same kind of thing with Michael Thomas. Like, I don't even know if I want any shares of him. Yeah. He had a bad year in 2020, was injured a lot of the year, and then I don't know what happened, but didn't have ankle surgery till June. Sean Payton didn't seem real thrilled about that either. And now we're not sure. Maybe he comes back after their bye, which would mean, what, like week 7 he'd be back? So mid-October? And I don't know if I want to sit on a guy that long. And he wasn't very good last year, even when he did play. And Drew Brees is no longer in New Orleans. So Thomas is probably a best draft and stash 3 for me, which is a far cry from what he was just a couple of seasons ago. In terms of other players that I'm not sure about, well, Joe Mixon, I love the workload. Love the workload. I mean, they don't have anybody behind him really on the depth chart that's going to take away any of those carries or receptions out of the backfield. But, you know, the offensive line has got question marks, and he was not durable last year, and he's going pretty highly. He's a second round pick across the board. I'd probably still take a chance on him. I mean, there's certain players I don't really want to take a chance on unless I can get him for the price that I want. So like, I'm not big on Odell Beckham Jr. I haven't been in the last couple of years. I mean, I don't know how you can be. But people hear the name Odell Beckham Jr. and they think, oh, he's going to bounce back. No, he's not. He's not going to bounce back. He's had two bad seasons in Cleveland outside of games against the Cowboys, and he's coming off a torn ACL. Like, he's going to be what he is. And right now, that's a number 3 fantasy receiver.
Mike Fabiano with us. I tell you, I am struggling, and you'll laugh at me. I took Christian McCaffrey last year, and it killed my team. And then I had a spot where I could have taken Tyreek Hill, but I said, I'm going to take Travis Kelce, and it kept my team alive. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at all 3 of those guys again this year. If I'm in the same scenario, and I think I'm going to be with Kelce in that space with Kansas City and Tyreek Hill, and Christian McCaffrey right now, Mike, I'm going to pass. I know you're going to think I'm nuts, but I just
he's the number one pick. He's the consensus number one. You're snake bitten. But you know what? You're not going to get McCaffrey unless you have 1 or 2. Like, you know, there could be some people out there who draft, I don't know, Dalvin Cook 1.
2.
So McCaffrey's not going to be there. So you're probably going to take Dalvin Cook.
Yes. Yes.
2 is way too high for Tyreek or Kelce.
Right.
Yeah.
But if they're both on the board,
have Tyreek. I'd rather have Tyreek. And Kelce's awesome. 5 years in a row. 5 years in a row, he's been the number one tight end in fantasy football. He's entering his age 32 season. Hasn't shown any signs of breaking down. There's been, I think, one tight end historically that's had over 200 fantasy points in his age 32 season. That was Tony Gonzalez. And Kelce is every bit as good as Gonzalez, maybe better from a fantasy perspective. And he's also entering his ninth NFL season, and that's not been a great year historically for tight ends. But Kelce's, to me, back of the first, top of the second, that's where he's going to go. I wonder when the wheels are going to fall off. And I'm not saying they're going to fall off this year, but is he going to go for over 1,400 yards, have over 100 catches?
Yes.
And yes. Score? I mean, that's hard. That's hard to duplicate, man. I mean, you get an extra game this year, of course, so maybe it's a little bit different scenario. But like 2 years ago, he was the top tight end of fantasy football. He averaged 15.7 points per game. Last year, he was over 20. Like, there's no way he's going to be over 20 this year. I'd say if he's at 17 or 18, that's amazing. But time will tell. Maybe I'm just being a negative Nancy. I like Kelce. I'll never get him. I won't draft tight ends that early. I don't care. I won't do it. I've never done it. I think the 1 year I did it was when Gronkowski was coming off of that banana season where he had 17 touchdowns.
Yeah.
And I regretted it the whole year. I ended up trading him. I can't do it.
Well, in my strategy that you've always instilled is you can wait on quarterbacks. Okay.
Yeah.
So my strategy this year, I'm picking two, and I'm hopeful that Nick Chubb is going to be there in round two for me. I don't.
He won't be.
I don't think he's going to be, but I would hope that he would be. But the last 3 years, I've said I'm going to wait. I'm going to take Russell Wilson. And every year, I actually won my league 2 years ago. Last year, Russell Wilson, about week nine, I'm thinking I should probably bail out on this. And I didn't do it. So this year, I'm not going to do it. It's to your Travis Kelce point, right? Where are you at on quarterbacks and guys you're looking at this year? Because the top ones aren't – I'm not taking Mahomes. I'm just not.
Yeah. I'm there too. I'll never get him. I won't get Josh Allen this year either. I had him in a couple of leagues last year because I got him later. So if Dak or Kyler is available, say, round six – round seven, don't think they will be, but if they are, I'll pull the trigger there for sure. If Lamar is there and maybe round seven, maybe I'll take Lamar Jackson there. Otherwise, I'm going to wait. I will be happy to have Tom Brady and Jalen Hurts be my two quarterbacks going into next. I'll be happy to have Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow as my two quarterbacks. Like, what happens for me is like either a guy like one of the three guys I mentioned, so Lamar, Dak, or Kyler, I can get him at like six or seven in the sixth or seventh round, or I'll wait, and then I'll oftentimes go back to back. So maybe I'll wait until the eighth round to take Jalen Hurts, for example, and then in the ninth round take Joe Burrow or go Hurts or Brady or something like that. Typically, every year the position has guys who bust out who were not early round picks. It happens all the time. Like quarterback, and I know it's the complete opposite of the NFL, quarterbacks are not as valuable in fantasy football because there's so many good ones and you start one. Now, if you want to have a little fun, and I do this in a few of my leagues, you go super flex, which is one of your flexes can be a quarterback. And then the quarterback position becomes far more valuable.
Yeah.
But in a traditional redraft with one starting quarterback, like, oh, yeah, it's great to have Pat Mahomes and he's going to be awesome again. But Dak Prescott was awesome last year before he got hurt. Josh Allen emerged and was better than Mahomes last year. Like, there's always quarterbacks who come up. Aaron Rodgers was not getting drafted as a high QB1 last year, and he was two. He ended up being the QB2. Happens every year, folks. I mean, Carson Wentz, Matt Ryan, Dak Prescott, on and on and on and on and on. And some of the rookies. Trey Lance could be a league winner this year if he ends up taking that job at some point in the season. I don't think he'll open as a starter in San Francisco, but I like him a lot too.
Okay, so a couple other questions, let's go. On the quarterback stuff, where are you at on Detroit? Where are you at on Houston? Where are you at on the Jets?
All right, so we'll start with the Lions. I am afraid of every single player on their roster except for TJ Hockenson, every single one, including DeAndre Swift. Wow. I think that's going to be a committee. I liked him to begin with. They signed Jamal Williams. Anthony Lynn comes out and says Williams a classic A-back. Dan Campbell comes out and said they're going to play the hot hand. And name me one elite running back the Lions have drafted since Barry Sanders. I'll wait because there hasn't been one. All the guys they've drafted have at best had one good, like top 15 fantasy season. That was it. So, and you know, I love those trends. Houston, that's a dumpster fire right now. Deshaun probably ain't going to play for them. I don't know where he's going to play or if he's going to play. Their quarterback situation is Tyrod Taylor, who is a, you know, he's a good veteran quarterback, but he's probably not a starter in the NFL. More of a really good backup. And then Davis Mills, good luck with that. I still like Brandon Cooks because somebody has to catch the ball. Beyond him, I mean, Nico Collins might be worth a late flyer or Kiki QT, depending on who wins the starting role opposite of Cooks. I mean, Anthony Miller maybe running out of the slot is worth a late rounder. Their backfield's a mess. Out of all those guys, I'd much rather have Philip Lindsay than anybody else because I'll get him late. He's the youngest guy there that could see snaps. And the Jets, they're actually gaining momentum. I don't love Zach Wilson. Why? First off, one good year in college.
Yep.
And second, name me the last time the Jets drafted a quarterback who was any good. Yep. Maybe Joe Namath. And I'm not kidding. It's been over 50 years.
Richard Todd was great.
But he wasn't any good statistically.
Just loved
him. I mean, can yeah, no, I did too.
14.
Yeah, back
couldn't play dead. Couldn't play dead.
But. I mean, Kenny O'Brien, remember when they drafted him over Marino? Chad Pennington, he was okay. Mark Sanchez is going to be forever known for the butt fumble. it didn't work out for Geno Smith. It didn't work out for Sam Darnold. Like, you know, I can go back to Kellen Clemens. I mean, there's a long line, and I like those trends. So I'm a little wary. But, you know, Michael Carter is getting some good positive buzz in camp. I think he could end up being the guy who's maybe not a featured back, but at least the top of a committee for the Jets. You know, Corey Davis is a nice wide receiver 4. He'll see a bunch of targets. Elijah Moore is really starting to step up. He's gotten a lot of rave reviews in Jets camp. And if they use him outside – he was a slot receiver predominantly in college. I think he only ran like 8% of his routes out wide, but they've been using him out wide and they put Crowder in the slot. If Moore can do both, that's only going to help his value. So I think he's also worth a late flyer as well. But those are three pretty bad teams. I think the Jets will be the best of the three. Lions are going to stink.
Talking fantasy football with Michael Fabiano, Sports Illustrated, SI.com. And of course you can find him over at SiriusXM. The Arizona Cardinals, your view of where they are from Kyler through the receivers, the addition of James Conner from a fantasy football perspective, talk Cardinals, Michael, as these drafts are coming up.
Well, obviously, Nuke's going to be the first Cardinal pick, second round, right? And then you're going to have Kyler or Chase Edmonds will be next. So Kyler, he is what he is. I don't know if he's going to have as many rushing touchdowns. What do you have, 11 last year? I mean, that might be a lot. To ask. So maybe some regression in terms of the rushing totals, but still a guy that you're going to pick as your QB1. He's a top 5 quarterback. The backfield, Chase is getting all the love in fantasy, but is James Conner maybe a better bargain? He's going like 30 picks after Edmonds. And I like Chase Edmonds, but he's never had 100 carries in a single season. He's not a big guy, right? He's not a big back. And Conner, although he's had durability issues, remember a few years ago, he was a stud in fantasy when Le'Veon Bell didn't play for the Steelers.
Loved him. Had him on my team. He was great.
Right. So how do we know that Cliff Kingsbury is not going to give Conner the Drake role and Edmonds continues his role, but sees more touches than he did last season? What if this is a 50-50 thing or a 60-40 thing? I think it probably will be. So I don't know that either one of these guys is going to emerge as like an RB2. I like the upside with Edmonds better, but honestly, like Chase Edmonds' like two best games came at MetLife Stadium. So, I mean, right, which is kind of odd. But I don't know that I trust him as more than a flex. Beyond Nuke at wide receiver, A.J. Green's probably worth a late flyer. Rondale Moore is worth a late flyer, too. And, I heard Kingsbury come out and say that he thinks that Andy Isabella is more of an outside receiver, which means Moore would be the slot guy. But Andy Isabella is not an outside receiver. He barely ran any routes on the outside last year. He's been more of a slot guy. And Larry Fitzgerald leaves behind over 400 slot routes last year. I mean, he was the slot guy for the Cardinals, and he's gone. Mm-hmm. So if Moore is going to be the slot guy, and they're going to use him maybe on the outside a little bit too, like it makes him more attractive to me, more opportunities to score fantasy points. But I don't know that Moore is going to have the consistency that you're going to be looking for. Like he'll pop a couple of games this year. I think he's probably better in best ball leagues, though.
You know, on Kyler's part, it's just that it's the durability part for me that I struggle with. Mm-hmm. Yes, last year he did have the success within the red zone. No question about it. Who wouldn't want that on your team? And yes, he's so far been able to stay relatively healthy by the end of the season. You brought it up earlier. 17 games. It's, you know, almost impossible for me to expect that any of these position groups are going to be even halfway put together as the season progresses. With one extra game, I know that doesn't sound like a lot. Mike, it's a lot. Like, you've got to drill down so much further on drafting guys higher and saying, okay, by week 10, week 11, the waiver wire has got to be your friend this year more than ever.
Yep, and expanded rosters too. If you expanded rosters last year due to COVID, keep them expanded. COVID is not over, folks. I mean, look at the Ravens right now. You know, Lamar Jackson's still on the COVID-19 list. There's guys who don't want to get vaccinated like Cole Beasley, and, you know, that's their choice. But COVID is going to make an impact this year. It's going to happen. Like, you're going to lose guys to COVID again this season. Hopefully at a much smaller rate, hopefully. But dudes who are vaccinated are getting COVID too. So, like, keep your expanded rosters. And, you know, same kind of thing. It's more important than ever to handcuff your top backs. If you get Zeke, get Pollard. If you get Cooks, get Alexander Mattison, for example. And, heck, I mean, if you get Saquon, try and get Devontae Booker just in case, because it looks like Booker may start a couple of games to begin the season. So, yeah, keep the expanded rosters. Play as if COVID is going to be an issue. And, yeah, there's going to be more injuries this year. Why? Extra game. And it's at the end of the year, you may see teams resting guys. You may see certain running backs who, you know, were typically 20 to 25 carry guys every week, maybe getting 18 to 22, you know, as the coaches try to save them for the stretch run.
Yeah, I've had players that tell me I got to be ready to go by November 15. And so September games are being impacted, in my opinion, in a sort of way with some players. But that's I'll let you go off that. Good stuff, as always. Good to see you for another year. Thanks for the time.
All right, my friends. Looking forward to being back with you this season.
There is Michael Fabiano. You can find all of his content over at SportsIllustratedSI.com and, of course, on SiriusXM. And we're back with more after this timeout.